forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is forgiveness in the midst of that sort of trial. But we as humans, we've got to learn to forgive too. That's a great example of our Lord there on the cross. But let's look at another biblical example of true forgiveness. This is David in the book of 1 Samuel 26. Now, you may be familiar with this story. I'm just going to outline it and we're going to read some verses from it. But this is a great example of forgiveness. What's happened here is David is on the run from King Saul. King Saul wants David's blood. Okay, he was once a friend and he was once a confidant in the king's court. But now Saul has got absolutely paranoid. Think of Stalin on steroids and you've got Saul, okay? And he is paranoid that this guy is going to rise up and he is going to attack and take the crown from him. So Saul gets angry and aggressive about it and he is chasing David down. David's done nothing. He's done nothing to try and usurp the throne, but Saul, it's all in Saul's mind. So David is on the run and they reach this point where Saul's kind of tracked him down. Night falls, you've got David's camp, you've got Saul's camp. And David and his offsider Abishai to say, let's go up and check out Saul's camp. Well, to their great amazement, everyone is so sound asleep that they manage to walk right into the middle of the encampment. And there is King Saul with his confidence and his bodyguard around him, all asleep. Okay, and his spear and his jug is near his head. And so that's where we pick up the picture here. They've snuck into camp. And they see Saul asleep. And this is 1 Samuel 26, verse 8. This is what it says. Excuse me. Then Abishai said to David, God has given your enemy into your hands this day. Look at this. He's asleep. And he's got a spear next to him. You haven't even got to send out for a spear. It's right there. We can get this guy. He says, God has given your enemy into your hands this day. Now please let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear. I will not strike him twice. You hear what he's saying? Let me run this guy through and I don't miss. Especially from point blank range. But David said to Abishai, do not destroy him, for who can put out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? And David said, as the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come to die, or he will go down into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But now take the spear that is at his head and the jar of water and let's go. So they take the spear and the jar of water, they head up and they go onto another hill, a hill that's looking down on this valley where the soldiers are camped. So David's on a hill and he shouts out to Saul. And David reveals himself, he's standing on the hill and he's shouting, he's out of the range of the king's army, but he's shouting out, hey king, wake up, you guys. He rouses on the king's bodyguard for doing a bad job. That's probably a fair call. And he calls on to Saul. He calls out to Saul and explains that he could have killed him, but he has spared his life. And to prove it, he's taken the spear and the jug that were near Saul's head. Then in verse 21, Saul says this. So Saul realizes he could have been done in by this guy, but that David had refrained from killing him when he could have easily. And now David's talking to him from the hilltop. And Saul says this. Then Saul says in verse 21, I have sinned, return my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly and have made a great mistake. It's not often you hear a king say that. You can't even hear a man say that usually. That's right, yes. And David answered him, here is the spear, O king, let one of your men come up and take it. Because Saul had called him down. He said, why don't you send one of your guys up here and get it? For the Lord rewards every man according to his righteousness and faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me out of all tribulation. It's a great story. We're going to pick it apart in a few moments. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us here. That you would speak to us about forgiveness. And Lord, we just open our hearts to you, and whatever it is, whatever grudge, whatever anger we hold, hostility we hold in our hearts, Lord, we give it to you this morning and say, have your way. If you are Lord of our lives, you have to be Lord of all of it, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you probably know, forgiving is a challenge. Does anybody find it easy? Because I don't, especially when I'm right, which is always, ask Fiona. So, Forgiving is a challenge that's never easy, especially when the offense is ongoing. But if ever we are to win a heart back, we will need to forgive. So you won't win anybody over if you hold resentment. You'll just hurt yourself more than you hurt them. We've talked about this the last few weeks. Now, there are basically three kinds of people to which you will need to show forgiveness in your life. And David had all of these wrapped up in King Saul. So let's run through the types of people you're going to need to forgive. First of all, forgiving a friend. Now, Saul was at one point friendly to David. In fact, they were allies together. And you may have someone in your life, a neighbor, a friend, a loved one, maybe even a spouse or a child who's hurt you. See, friends, they might love you, but they still hurt you, don't they, at some point? And so one of the types of people we've got to forgive in our life is a friend. You know, at some stage, every friend will let you down. That's why we have to build our life on Jesus Christ, not on our friends, because they will at some point let you down. And remember, forgiveness is an act of love. You see, if we say we love someone, if they're our friends, our neighbors, our loved ones, if we say we love them, then unforgiveness is not an act of love. It's an act of hatred. Forgiveness is an act of love. And love keeps people close. If you love someone unconditionally, you keep them close. If you unlove them, if you don't forgive them, you push them away. Proverbs 17 verse 9 says, "Whoever covers over an offense seeks love. But he who repeats the matter separates close friends." And 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, "Love covers a multitude of sins." How many sins? A multitude. Remember, the disciples said, "Lord, how many times should we forgive? Seven? That's a pretty good amount. We'd be pretty good to forgive seven." And Jesus said, "No, 70 times seven." So forgiving them might hurt, and forgiveness always costs you, but you can see the benefit. If you forgive someone you love, you can restore them, and the relationship can be restored. Is that right? So forgiving someone you love is great because you can actually see the result. And forgiving them can restore the relationship. The second person you'll have to face forgiving is forgiving an enemy. Now, this one's a little harder. Saul turned from being an ally and a kind of a friend to David to being an enemy. And your enemies are people who seek to destroy you. They seek to ruin your life. And forgiving them is just a little bit harder. Have you noticed that? It really can, because you forgive them, but they're still trying to ruin your life. That's what they, because they're enemies. But here's the thing. If you forgive them, if forgiveness is demonstrated, they may change. But if you don't forgive them, they will never change. Romans 12, verse 20 to 21 says this. "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." What does it mean, heaping burning coals on someone's head? Well, did a bit of research. Some people say it's a good thing because they need a coal to keep warm, and so you're putting coals in the little basket on his head. But most commentators think you're basically, the burning coals thing is about them feeling guilt and shame. And see, if they attack you and you forgive them and love them back, they not only feel guilt and shame, they look ridiculous. Have you ever seen a debate between two sides where one is a Christian and the other is not? And it's really obvious because the Christian is you know, kind in his words, he measures his words, and the other person just goes nuts. Or if you have a fight with someone, and sometimes, you know, people just react and they just throw all these things and they say ridiculous things. But the problem with words is you can't retract them. I often tell the story of a woman who was sinning against her pastor. She was gossiping about him and saying these horrible things about him. And in this, she found out it wasn't true. She couldn't read the Bible where it says, "I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed." She was happy to. And she was just aggressively gossiping and saying bad things about him. Well, when she found out it all wasn't true, she went to the pastor and she said, "Will you please forgive me?" And being a godly man, he says, "Yes, I'll forgive you, but I want you to do one thing. Take a pillow, go to the little bluff above our village, cut the pillow open and throw the feathers in the air." And she thought, gosh, that's penance used to be Hail Marys and now I've got to do this. Well, anyway, off she goes. So it's a bit weird, but I'll do it. So she gets up there, rips open the pillow, feathers go everywhere, they float right across the town. She comes back, she said, "Pastor, I've done it." He said, "Oh, one more thing, could you go and pick them up?" Because that's what our words are like. We say them, and they have power, and they go on and cause damage. You know, there is no excuse, church, for angry, aggressive words, for death words. There's no excuse for us. We need to speak life into people's lives. So if your enemy is attacking you and you forgive them, what you're heaping burning coals on their head. You're making them feel ashamed because you're not responding the way they thought you would. When I was in high school, which was a few years ago now, many years ago now, I had a guy there. His name was Matthew, and he was a real bully, big, solid, tough-looking bloke, and he was just aggressive. And he used to pick on everybody, but he picked on me and my friends one day, and you know, I thought, oh, this guy's a real piece of work, you know? And anyway, a month or so later, we had our school musical. Now, I was in the music. I was actually one of the lead parts. He was a bit part in the musical, but I saw him sitting off to the side of the stage, and he was terrified of going on stage and having to say two lines or whatever it was. He was just terrified. He was sitting there. He was shaking. So I just sat beside him and I just said, I'm going to forgive this guy. And I said, you know, how are you? How's it going? And I settled him down and I was with him. And then I got him out on stage. He said his lines and it was all good. Well, he came to me afterwards. He said, thank you so much. I was really, really scared there. And he said, I want to let you know that you now have an advocate and a friend in me. And if someone else picks on you, all you need to do is say my name and I'm there. I thought, this is power. I loved it. I thought it was great. But see, forgiveness not only set me free and my friends free, it set him free as well. So forgiving an enemy can work. It could be that one of the reasons God hasn't dealt with your enemy yet is that you're still in the way. So learn to forgive. If David had done what Abishai had suggested, all he would have done, listen to this, all he would have done is put another Saul on the throne. Probably him. Because if you don't forgive, the evil seeps into you. You need to forgive for your own sake as well as the other one's sake. Now, the third sort of person that you'll need to forgive is a fool. Saul says in this, I have been foolish. A fool, now, I'm not talking about, you know, going out and forgiving jesters or comedians or something like that. In the biblical sense, a fool is defined as someone, and if you don't believe me, look at Proverbs 26. There's a whole list of things that a fool is. But it's generally considered to be a fool is someone who willfully says, show me your your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. If you are genuinely doing something in faith, prove it. That's all he's saying. Prove it. So if you genuinely forgive someone, you need to prove it. How can you prove it? It doesn't necessarily mean going and confronting them. I was talking to someone in our family one time, called up Fiona, and said, I'm going to give you a list of all the things I'm forgiving you for. And we just went, that is so immature. Because our list is longer than yours. No, we didn't say that. But we could have said that, right? But you know, to call someone up and say, this is what I'm forgiving you for, is not forgiveness. It's a last twist of the knife before God makes you drop it. That's what it is. So you don't necessarily have to confront them. Sometimes you may, but mostly you don't. But forgiving them, you know, David in this story, he actually confronted Saul, and fair enough, sometimes you do, but mostly you don't. What does it mean by faith by your works? It means forgiving them means to not continually bring it up, to not tell others about it, to not try and punish them or get even or try and ruin their reputation. Because we say, I forgive them, I release them, and we go to our friend and we have coffee with our friends and say, oh man, so-and-so really gets something, and you haven't forgiven them, have you? Because your words confirm that you haven't forgiven them. And yes, sometimes we need to talk things out, but we need to measure our words, be careful. You know, there's a terrifying verse in the Gospels that said, man will be called to account for every careless word they've spoken. Man, I'm not looking forward to that. I've got to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me because I've said some careless words in the past, and so have you. True forgiving means letting go and trusting God for their future as well as your own. The third thing about forgiving needs to be repeated. We've seen this like an onion, like an ogre, layer upon layer, for those of you who know Shrek, layer upon layer. You know, you peel one layer along and you forgive, and there's another one underneath. And we should not complain about the fact we have to give them a second time. We should say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to forgive them a second time. I gave the example of last week of a lady who falls in love with a guy. They have a relationship in church, say, and then she wants to get married. He breaks up with her. Then he takes up with another girl. Well, she's got to forgive him. Then she's got to forgive her. And she does that when she sees them together. And then, of course, next Sunday comes around. They're there together again. And she's got to go through it all again. And each time, a layer is peeled away from the onion. You forgive and you forgive and you forgive and you forgive. And on it goes. And then they announce their engagement. Well, there's a whole heap more forgiving to be done there, you know. And so that's what forgiveness is like. It comes in layers. David, interestingly, had already spared Saul's life. Did you know that? This is not the first time this happened. In 1 Samuel 24, if you keep your finger in 26 and go back to 24, verse 10, it says this, "Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave of Adullam, and told me to, and some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I will not put out my hand against the Lord's against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." So back in 1 Samuel 24, Saul foolishly went into a cave by himself to relieve himself, and David's team was in the cave. This is perfect, David. We can run this guy through while he's on the throne, literally. And David said, "No, I'm not going to do it." So this is the second time. You see, it's another layer that David had to forgive Saul of. David was careful to forgive Saul and not attack the Lord's anointed. When you forgive, you need to leave it to the Lord and release them to the Lord. How can you do that? Well, Numbers 14 verse 18 tells you why you can do that. Listen to this. "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty." God's not going to let it rest. You can let it rest, you can give it to him, but he will sort it out. You have to trust him for that. The fourth thing about forgiving is that it's risky. Sneaking into, isn't that incredible? You want a lunch break? That's risky. That's risky behavior right there. But forgiving is also risky. You don't know how they're going to react. You don't know what's going to be said. And for men, talking to the men here, forgiveness is often perceived as weakness. And I've got to tell you, it's not. It is strength. But men often don't want to forgive so that they won't be shamed in front of their peers. And Abishai was a typical guy here. In 1 Samuel 26:8, he says, "God has given your enemy into your hands this day." Let's use all the religious talk. God's given your enemy. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He's given your enemy. I feel a message from the Lord coming on. The Lord is telling you that he's given your enemy into your hands. So use all the religious. But David says no. Abishai says, "Let me pin him to the earth with one stroke of the spear." And David says no. He will not. So even if it sounds religious, don't fall for it. Forgiving is risky. He takes the spear in the jar, then he risks exposing himself to Saul. Forgiving is risky. It might never be reciprocated. If you forgive someone, they might never change it. They might throw it back in your face. They might not care about even who you are. But ultimately, I believe it's still worth it. It is costly to forgive, but it is more costly to not forgive. The fifth thing about forgiving is it doesn't mean you have to trust them. So people get this wrong all the time. If I forgive them, I have to trust them. No, you don't. See, David stood out of range of Saul when he said, "Here's your spear and your water jug. You can forgive, but it doesn't mean you have to trust them." See, Saul said, "Oh, David. You know, verse 21, it says, 'I've sinned, return, my son David, for I will do you no more harm because my life is precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly. I've made a great mistake.'" And so he said, "Hey, David, you know, come on down, my friend. We're going to be mates again. We're going to love each other again." And David, foolish, he's not an idiot. "King, send one of your young men up to come and take it." You see, Saul is saying, "Hey, David, come down. Let's be friends again." And David's going, "I don't think so, Saul. I'd rather you send one of your boys up here to get it. I don't want to come down into the middle of your camp and get attacked." You see, David wasn't foolish about it. When your trust has been violated, forgiving someone doesn't mean you act stupidly or naively and trust them automatically again. Trust is something that has to be earned, isn't it? Trust is something that has to be earned. And that's why so many relationships have, you know, when trust is violated in a relationship, it takes a long time to heal that. It really does. A long, long time. Because just because you forgive them doesn't mean you trust them. You know, I've got people who've said terrible things about me. I was actually going to design a t-shirt with a target on it and the caption, "Take your best shot, I'm a pastor." Because some people can't read lifting their hands against, they just said, "Oh, I'll have a shot at him." How many of you have been to church and gone home to roast pastor for lunch? Some of you have. Don't make a habit of it, okay? But there is many people through the years and even recently that have attacked me. Now, I forgive them, but I also wisely keep my distance from them because I don't trust them. I can forgive them and I don't have to sort of get near to them again. I can just say, "God bless you, I forgive you, but I don't want to be close to you," because it takes a lot to regain trust. Forgiveness doesn't mean you stupidly open yourself to more attacks. We're called to be servants, not doormats. So be careful about that one. You see, ultimately, whether we forgive or don't forgive comes down to our perception. We think they've done us wrong. We think that they deserve to suffer for it. But if you let all that go, it comes down to your perception. Where is your treasure? You see, if you've got the correct view of your treasure, it makes forgiveness entirely possible. If you look at Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about this. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 6. This is a great verse. It refers to many things, but it refers particularly to our souls. "Do not lay up for yourselves," Jesus said, "treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So he's not saying don't have treasures on earth. You know, we have lots of great, cool stuff around here. We live in nice houses, drive nice cars, most of us, you know, we have a great time. But that's not your treasure. It's just your possession. You can possess it. It mustn't possess you. We have to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. See, David risked his life to forgive and redeem. Jesus gave his life for the same reason. Well, when someone wrongs you, there is a price to be paid. Either you will pay it by your unforgiveness and you will suffer, or you can hand it over to the Lord and let him pay it by the precious blood of his Son. But the price has got to be paid. I think it is far better to give it to the Lord and let him deal with the debt for you. See, true forgiving is based on your perspective. If your treasure is in heaven, that's the right perspective. Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" He asks a question, what can man do to me? Elsewhere it says, he can kill the body, but he cannot kill. You should fear the one who can kill your soul. That's God. Man can affect your body. He can hurt your body, but he cannot affect your soul unless you give him permission to do it. And you give him permission to do it by holding on to unforgiveness. You give them permission to ruin your soul if you do that. It's time that we released it. You see, if they attack your reputation, your wealth, your body, your home, remember that your true home, your true wealth, your true reputation is in heaven. You don't have to protect it here. They can think, they can say what they like. My treasure's in heaven. That's where I'm looking. That's where I'm building something. Forgiveness takes a humble, obedient soul that says, "Lord, I give it all up to you. Take over, Lord. I'll forgive them and I'll trust you no matter what." You know, I love that passage that talks about building something in heaven. Wood, hay, and straw, gold, silver, and costly stones. So the question to you is, what are you building in heaven? Because if you harbor unforgiveness, you're building wood, hay, and straw. It'll burn. It'll go one day. They'll set fire to it. Boom. It'll just go. Have you ever put petrol on a fire? It just goes. I think that's what it's going to be like with some of the things that we've done and said and believed. At one stage, God's going to just set fire. It's just going to disappear, burned up in a moment. We need to build something of value, gold, silver, costly stones. So we pray prayers for forgiveness over the last few weeks, but today I'm going to wrap up our series on forgiveness by asking you to join me in a prayer. Picture someone in your mind who's hurt you, someone maybe that you're struggling to forgive. There might be one person. There might be a lot of them. It might have been from this week, or it could have been from decades ago. But whatever it is that you are struggling with right now, I'm going to ask you this morning to, number one, forgive them, and number two, to pray blessing over their life. And that's really hard, isn't it? But if God calls you to obey, then I think you need to obey, don't you? So why don't you bow your head in prayer? We're going to sing a song to finish up, and then we're going to go to our groups. If you're new to our church, we form little discussion groups, and we'll have a chat about what's been going on in the message, because we love to share. We're about community. But before we go to that, why don't you just close your eyes and bow your head and just think about someone who has wronged you, maybe this week, maybe decades ago. Who is it? Maybe someone you love. Maybe someone you don't love. Who is it? Okay, just picture that person in your mind, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this with me. We will do it together. Just say it with me. Say, Lord, forgive me of my unforgiveness. Right now, I make the decision to forgive, and insert their name there. I forgive them. I release them into your care. And I pray your blessing upon their life. Just as we continue in prayer, let's just worship the Lord together. This is my desire. Sing it out to Him. To honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. With all I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Sing, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I give you my heart. Give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart. Sing it to him, come on. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, we pray you for you will help us to live this forgiveness in our own life, Lord God. And we forgive and release the other party into your hands. Pray your blessing upon their life in Jesus' name. Amen.